Hello, and welcome to another in a series of award-winning Financially Fit podcasts brought to you by the New Jersey Society of Certified Public Accountants. Today's podcast is on surviving an IRS audit. With us is Rosemary Irvin. Ms. Irvin is a director at the Hunter Group in Fairlawn and a member of the New Jersey Society of CPAs Tax Resource Group. Rosemary, good morning.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good. Tell me, what's the first thing you should do if you get that scary audit notice from the IRS?
Well, whether it be from the IRS or any state authority, the first thing we do is get a power of attorney. What the power of attorney does is it allows the person who got the letter to be represented by a professional. And you can choose on the power if you want future notices to be sent to the power. And there can be more than one power on there. Here in our office, we always put two names on it because when the authority, whether it be the IRS or a state, gets around to making a call in response to any correspondence, if we're not sitting at our desk, there's always a second person that they can talk with. So you want to get a power of attorney so that you can be represented by a professional. And then when you're completing the power of attorney, you have some choices whether you want the representative to receive all correspondence, to receive checks, to speak on your behalf. That's basically what it's doing, the power of attorney. It's a declaration of a representative.
Now, tell our listeners, what are some of the reasons that someone would be selected to be audited?
Well, there are a number of flags. For an individual, if you have a lot of expenses and very little income, for example, your mortgage interest and your real estate taxes far exceed your income, there's going to be a question there where you're getting the money to pay this. If you're a business and your cost of goods sold exceeds your sales, then they're going to question, you know, what are you doing with your inventory? Where is it going? So those are things that would cause a high score on the computerized screening. There's also random samples. There's a lot of random sampling going on there. The IRS uses this for their economic indicators, how many people accurately report their wages, their dividend income, things like that. And then probably the one that we see more tax notices, not audits, but tax notices, is on third-party income document matching. Now, what I mean by third-party income document matching is we all get W-2s, we get 1099s, and if we don't report exactly what the payor is putting on that form, if we don't report the same thing on our tax returns, the flag goes up. For example, if you think your employer withheld $10,000 for federal taxes on your W-2, and he's only reporting $9,000, so you're only going to put $9,000 on, that's going to cause a third-party document matching problem. What you need to do is to go back to the person who issued it, in this particular case, the employer, and have them reconcile the issue with you. But you should always report what's on the third-party income document matching. If you have any issues with it, you go back to the payor and ask them to make the change. But don't not report the same thing, because when they prepare the W-2 or the 1099 and send it to you, the federal government gets a copy too. And now they're computerized and they can match it. And that's what selects a tax return for an audit, or in this particular case, third party, is a tax notice.
And can you just describe for our listeners the difference between an audit and a notice?
A notice basically says, look, we have some information here that you didn't give us. We have your tax return. And just tell us if you agree with what we have or if you don't. And particularly what we do, we get more of those than actual audits. The notice, you just have to say, no, you're wrong. Here's the W-2. Or, oh, you're right. I never put that 1099 on my income tax return. So I will agree with your notice findings, and you can send me a bill. An audit is really, you go to a different department at the IRS or the state, and they're basically looking at a lot of things on your tax return. The notice is really just for an omission or an incorrect matching of maybe one or two items.
Gotcha. Now, I know everyone's circumstances are different, but what kind of penalties can be enforced via an audit?
There's always a late payment. If you agree to something, even with a notice, if you agree 2 years later that you forgot something, they're going to, of course, they're going to add on some interest, but there could be a penalty there. There could be a penalty for example, if we were responding today in 2009 to a 2006 tax notice, and you're paying now because you're agreeing to something that you didn't report then, they could give you a penalty for late payment, which is about 0.5% a month, up to 25% of what you owe. There could be a late filing penalty if you didn't file the tax return that they just sent you a notice for. And they can always be abated for reasonable causes. And there's a lot of that stuff going on right now. Particularly, there's some tax law that's recently come out about people who get called up in the armed services. They're going to National Guard meetings for years and years and years, and all of a sudden they get called up and they totally forget that they have to do their income taxes or report income and stuff like that. So there's always reasonable causes. However, when you get caught up in a notice or an audit, you have to respond and comply. I recently saw a penalty assessed for accuracy-related penalty. An accuracy-related penalty is for flagrant disregard of the law. Now, back in 2006, we had a tax law that came out, and it said that if you're going to have any charitable contributions in excess of $75, there's no more just saying miscellaneous $2,000. You actually have to have a bank record, which is a canceled check, or a debit coming out of your bank statement, or a letter from the charity that says, you know, thank you for your donation on this day of this amount. Now, the accuracy-related penalty that I saw assessed came to a taxpayer who put down, oh, a number of very large contributions, and then he had miscellaneous $2,800. Well, when the auditor asked me for the backup for the $2,800, I said, well, we don't have any. That was just cash. And she applied an accuracy-related penalty because we did not respond with what she asked for, which the law says you have to have the acknowledgement or the bank receipt. So there's accuracy-related penalty, there's failure to file. Failure to file, if you don't file a tax return, then they're going to look into whether it's willful or non-willful. You know, if it's willful, there could be criminal penalties. So there's a whole list of penalties, and they can assess every one. I think California just came out last week and said that they're having a frivolous tax return penalty. So there's a whole bunch of penalties, and, of course, interest is always attached to the penalties.
Now, because of the, let's say, dangers of these penalties, whether they're paying back what you owe or punitive penalties, how important is it to work with a tax professional, and why?
Well, first of all, we find out what the trigger was, and we try to find out why you omitted something or understated something. And pretty much from our experiences with other clients and other audits, and even sometimes with the same auditor, we know how to discuss it. We're certainly not going to give them information that would not be good for the taxpayer. And we kind of know what they will allow and what they won't allow. I was a little bit thrown back by the accuracy-related penalty, but yet that's a relatively new law. It was only effective in the beginning of 2007. And we've told our clients, we send them correspondence, we say, you must have backup. And then when we prepare the tax return and we say, you told me you have $2,800, he says, oh, yeah, I have checks. You know, we're not going to go through every $50 check that a client writes in the whole year. But we need to know that there are such things out there as accuracy-related penalties. So we know because we talk with these auditors on a daily basis, we know what they're looking for, and it is important that we can perceive these, you know, just like you go to a professional when you need health care information.
Sure.
You go to a professional when you have tax issues.
Great. Well, Rosemary, thank you for this great information.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's Financially Fit podcast. To learn more about other financial issues, please visit the NJS CPA's consumer website at www.moneymattersnj.com. That's www.moneymattersnj.com. Money, 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 money.